This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back. We are here at Being Me, an all-women's conference in Toronto. We are honored to have the opportunity to speak with Alima Ashfaq about the importance of remaining steadfast within our faith in these current times. Alima Ashfaq is from the UK and is the founder of Women of Ilm, a movement to revive the love of knowledge. She is currently memorizing the Holy Quran and is also the instructor of Islamic Online University. Let's sit down and get her thoughts on how Muslim women and those of other visible faith backgrounds can remain steadfast in light of challenging times that we're living in today. Welcome to the show, Alima.
Thank you.
So I know you're here from England. I guess I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how is it being a Muslim woman? Because here in North America lately, there's been Islamophobia is on the rise, and it's difficult, I think, being a visible Muslim woman.
Mm. Well, in the UK, personally, I haven't faced anything.
Okay, that's good.
Alhamdulillah. And I think the problem we have is in social mediums, especially mediums like Facebook, we magnify one Islamophobic attack. So a majority of the UK are grey, and there are tensions that exist, but we magnify them, and we have this fear that in reality, even though it's valid, we magnify it, and we suffer due to that. So alhamdulillah, I don't have a problem. I know some individuals that have, but mashallah, a majority of the UK, my neighbours are great. When I speak to people, they're absolutely amazing. So there are issues there, but they're political issues. But personally,
it hasn't impacted your life.
It hasn't impacted my life.
And you, I mean, you're a very avid public speaker in the UK. So has that, as a being a female public speaker, like you rightfully mentioned, politically there is a lot of tension, right? Whether
yeah.
we like it or not. And I think that's the same lately in North America as well. I mean, you can look at Trump as an ideal example. Mm. So how do you find any challenges on that regard, being a public spokesperson for, you know, Islamic issues, quote unquote?
Personally, like for example, in the UK, yeah. David Cameron made a statement that we need to educate the
yes,
women.
Yes, I remember.
You know,
yeah,
and he impacted our elderly mothers.
Yes.
So when I was delivering a lecture, I had one of a non-Muslim participant ask me, you know, what do you think of that? And so we, in that way, it affects us. It affects the elderly, but it's mainly about fear mongering. So the way it affects us is we build that fear, and the non-Muslim community who don't share the Islamic faith, who are not open-minded, who do not go and see Islam from an unbiased manner, they have a tendency to view us in a way that does not contribute to harmony. So as a public speaker, has it affected me? No, because I'm incredibly confident.
So I can tell.
Yeah, if someone said something to me, I'd probably be like, that's unacceptable. For example, I was delivering a lecture at a university, and we had the Atheist Society that completely, they were there, and they're like standing in front of me, staring at me. And every time I say something, they're like nodding their head, like we completely disagree with you. So you'll have individuals like that, they'll come and they'll challenge you. But if we dealt with them very respectfully, you know, put my foot down and mentioned the proofs. I mentioned, you know, Islamic history, how it impacted women. And alhamdulillah, they were open-minded.
Receptive.
Yeah, they were receptive. They disregarded everything I said, because if you go in with that perception. But we were able to at least converse. So for most part, as a speaker, I'm not affected. However, there are instances that occur, but my response generally... That says a lot.
You're an Islamic activist. You do a lot in the community. What would you say to someone who maybe isn't an activist type of a personality, but they are, you know, impacted by a lot of the Islamophobia that we're seeing, especially now in the US, and I would argue to a certain extent in Canada here as well?
So I read an amazing statement from a friend, and she said that if you spend a day away from Facebook, you'll be a lot happier.
I think that is true.
Yeah, so if you spend a day away from Facebook, because Facebook is the main news feed that a majority of people are sharing stories that negatively impact Muslims. It's shared a million times. I don't blame these sisters for feeling like that. But number one, it's mind over matter. It's understand that the way you perceive, you know, non-Muslims, or the way you perceive how Islam is treated, is based on what you're reading. Secondly, is protect yourself. just ensure, inshallah, that you have mentorship, that you have friends that are there to guide you and that lift you up. I have tons of sisters who message me or who come to me in the lectures, and they feel exactly this way. And I remind them that number one is you have two people, both of them practice Islam. One is more confident, one is not. One is start gaining Islam, start gaining knowledge in Islam. So when you gain more knowledge in Islam, and this is where the topic of women in Islam comes in. You know, you have Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam alayhi salam was, you know, slandered. Maryam alayhi salam, you know, she was in a community where they didn't want women in the area of worship. Maryam alayhi salam, she found a supporter and she went forward. So in this community, inshallah, switch off from the news and seek solace and seek inspiration from women around you and mentors around you, and just lift yourself up. And I think that that will help.
I really like, you know, the story you gave of Maryam. Are there any other examples that you can share with us just to, you know, help people? Because I'm sure challenges like these were more difficult, were faced by people before us, right?
Okay, one example which I love is Asiya bint Muzahim. You know, Asiya bint Muzahim, she was the wife of Pharaoh. And subhanAllah, when you look at her life, she was, you know, Bani Israel, the children of Israel, they were facing Islamophobia or, you know, whatever you call it, on a regular basis. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent Musa alayhi salam. You know, he sent Musa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. So number one is understand that you have a prophet, you have a messenger of God that has every single solution to solve your problems. And you have Aisha radiallahu anha, just bringing that in, is she was incredibly content. She was incredibly content because she detached herself from this world. What does that mean? You're like, oh, what does it mean, detach
Everybody
yourself?
Everybody says that, right?
Everyone
says,
like, that.
It's like remove yourself from the world. Yeah. But it's kind of like, what does that practically look like?
Well, what it means is that you're going to university, you're going to your workplace, but every action you take, you're conscious about it. Every action you take, you think, okay, you know what? Will this benefit me in the future? Will this take me to a higher ground? For example, you have a student, he's going to Cambridge University, and he will be so careful every single thing, every step he takes. We respect him for not going out at night and, let's just say, clubbing. We respect him for not staying up, you know, staying up late and completing his assignments, spending his time in the library. So now you have a Muslim that detaches herself or himself from the individuals around them or certain you know, certain places that they want to go because they have a higher ground, and they use that high moral ground to aim higher and achieve something amazing. It may not be that, you know, a class degree, but it's something even greater because you're here in this life for a reason. You have to determine what that reason is. And for us as Muslims, it's to worship God and worship him to the best of our ability, so we attain his pleasure. We have an amazing, we are socially responsible, we give back to our community at the highest level, and depending on how much we give back, we attain a high place in paradise.
I'm just remembered because when I was growing up, my mom would always say, you know, the saying of the Prophet, where each man is judged based on his intention.
Yeah,
so it sort of brings that perspective as well into it, right?
Yeah, it's just, and going back to the example of Asiya bint Muzahim, you know, she was domestically abused by her husband. So one, the children of Israel, they were facing Islamophobia. She was domestically abused by her husband, but the power structures around her did not allow her to get out of her abuse. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He himself, he intervened and he took her out and he gave her the highest place in paradise. So there's two lessons here. Islamophobia has always existed. You're not the only one. So Sikhs thought, how did they, you know, how did they deal with it? The way they dealt with it is they, you know, upped their worship, and they worked together, they worked on the social policy around them to change the situation around them. They kept going back to their leader and saying, you know what, you need to do this for us. And with Asiya is, know that if you are unable to change the situation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will intervene and He'll take you out of that situation. You just have to be patient and you have to be socially active.
And when you're talking about changing the social policy, and you're talking, are you talking about that from a community level? Like as a, you know, this is my community, yeah. What can I do to help raise awareness about Islam? Is that what you're talking about?
Both. It's on an individual level, because what Islam does, it makes each individual socially responsible. We are, you know, we don't say that I can do anything I want and it doesn't matter what, how other people are affected. That's not how Islam works. Every single person is socially responsible. Then there's that communal responsibility. Then that's that societal responsibility where we have to be lobbying. We have to be involved in social policy. We cannot just sit in the masjid, or I cannot sit at home as a mother, and I'm a mother. They'd be like, oh, I'm just going to sit at home and everything will be okay. It doesn't work like that. And even another example is Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, may Allah be pleased with her, the wife of the Prophet, peace be upon him. At times when the Muslims needed to defend themselves because they were being verbally and physically attacked, Asya says that they would go out with the Prophet, peace be upon him, and they'd carry like water skins. You know, and you have another
The women.
And you have another statement in Al-Bukhari where the women, they would go out and they would, you know, they were tending to the men and they would pick them up and bring them back. And, you know, some Muslims would be like, Astaghfirullah. Yeah, like, Astaghfirullah, how can you teach the men? You're like, your humanity is absurd. Do you want them to leave there and die? Like, can you imagine the men, you know, the men are sitting there and the women are just walking past them like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't touch you right now because you're not my mahram.
Exactly.
Like, they didn't think like that. They're like, the sahabi is there, you know, I am concerned about him as my brother, you know, and I will bring him back. And they were incredibly grateful. So, and the reason why I brought that in is because the Sunnah and the way of the Prophet and the Quran completely changes our perception. It's dependent on who your teacher is and what knowledge you have access to. Depending on that, you will be incredibly open-minded and our women will be inspired.
I know, you've definitely, you know, changed, brought something to light, especially for me when I'm looking at Islamic history. So definitely need to go back to the books. But thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Hey YouTube, we hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.